Blog Talk Radio.
Radio Land, this is your host and friend, the Sand Tiger, DJ Southeast Benz, coming at you from a place called Durham, North Carolina, and this is Black by Color only on CNM Radio. On this show, I will discuss current events and issues that affect the black race and take on the apostles of blackness. Hopefully, you'll get something from this show, and if you have a question or a comment, make sure you season it well with respect. I'll push the kick button and you will suffer the curse of the fruit bat. So don't come here being a fruit bat, as this is a fruit bat free program. You are listening to Black by Color only. Well, hello all you good people out there in Blog Talk Radio land. Once again, this is your host and friend, DJ Southeast Vince, coming from a place called Durham, North Carolina. Welcome to today's program. If you would like to call in, be a guest on the show, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And you can talk about whatever is related to the subject matter, but I will give you a word of warning. I will not accept, I will not tolerate excessive profanity, ad hominem attacks, character assassinations, trolling, gaslighting, things of that sort. If you come here and you want to indulge in those type of activities, I will push the kick button and you will go bye-bye. I don't care if you agree with me on the subject matter or not. Just be respectful in your interactions on this show. Okay? So hope everybody's doing well out there. Hope today finds you doing well. I was going to go in a certain direction just a few seconds ago, but I just remembered the big news of this week. Let me pull this up right quick. Make sure this comes up. You all hang on with me. Hang tight with me. You all know what the big news is this week, right? I'm pretty sure you do. If anybody is just somewhat aware of what's going on in the world today, the big news this week is that Miss Lori Lightfoot has lost her bid for re-election as Chicago's mayor. And as you all know, she was elected in 2019. She's been serving since 2019, and she was very controversial. She was one of these wokists, and She was also known as, you know, and whenever, you know, they mention Lori Lightfoot on the news or whatever, they say, oh, she was the first black woman and first black openly gay person to serve as mayor. They always made sure to specify that to you, you know, almost like Her Highness or something like that. You know, don't forget that she's openly gay and she's a black woman. So you got to give her all the respect in the world. You know, well, she lost her election, and she lost her chance for re-election, let me say that. And this gives me a little bit of hope. This gives me a little bit of hope for the people in Chicago. Apparently, they're not as blind as a lot of Democrat-run cities are. But we won't be seeing the likes of Lori Lightfoot for a while now. You know, she's out of there. I'm not celebrating to the, I'm not celebrating like, woohoo, yay, yay. You know, I'm not celebrating to that point. But this really, it kind of increases my confidence somewhat in the voting process, because I think she only got 16% of the vote, if I'm correct, 16% of the vote. And this lady, she was, if you wanted to see an epitome of what hypocrisy is, this is, she was definitely the epitome of hypocrisy. She wouldn't answer questions. She would take, you know, certain questions as a personal attack against her. And she would tell you what you need to do, but she wouldn't do it herself. You know, I don't know. I forgot the name of that, that music festival she was in. You know, she was over there telling people they need to wear their masks and everything. And then pictures turned up of her at a music festival, and she didn't have her mask on, but she's telling you, you need to wear one, you know. And her tenure as mayor of Chicago was just a fiasco. And let me pull up this article. And you all, when I read this article to you, it comes from the Griot, which is one of those major black type websites. So read this. I'm going to read this with a grain of salt. Lightfoot finished Tuesday with only 16.4% of the vote, trailing Cook County Commissioner Brandon Johnson and Paul Vallis, former chief of Chicago Public Schools. Tuesday's failure of Lori Lightfoot to make it to the Chicago mayoral race runoff, which she attributes to racism and female inequality, has changed the Windy City political landscape. She attributes it to racism and female inequality. Now, how in the world did she get elected in the first place? I mean, that's a question to ask. You know, how did she get elected in the first place? Because I'm pretty sure that the same people who elected her in the first place, they got disgusted with her and said, hey, we're going in another direction. But of course, that becomes, you know, that becomes a convenient talking point whenever, you know, you're liberal. And, you know, you're one of these wokists and whatever, and things don't go your way. Oh, it's because you're racist, or because you don't like homosexuals, or, you know, all that type of stuff. Female inequality. What does she mean, female inequality? The woman is a lesbian. When you, if you identify yourself as a lesbian, your argument for female equality or inequality, it goes out the window with me, because you see yourself as a lesbian. Yeah, and a lot of lesbians, they have a manly type attitude or whatever, you know, and they want to go after other women and stuff like that. So don't come to me with argument about female inequality. That's just a little card you just want to throw down, you know, your blackness, and you want to throw down that race card, you want to throw down that LGBT card and all that crazy mess. That's all that's about. But anyway, the first black woman, see, here they go, the first black woman and openly gay person to lead Chicago, Lightfoot is the city's first mayor to lose a bid for re-election since Jane Byrne, another woman, in 1983, according to the New York Post. Answering a journalist's question about whether she'd been treated unfairly, Lightfoot replied, now, this is a kicker right here. Lightfoot replied, I'm a black woman in America, of course. excuse me, how in the world did you even become Chicago mayor in mayor Chicago mayor mayor of Chicago in the first place, woman? How in the world did you become the mayor of Chicago in the first place? But you want to say, oh, I'm a black woman in America, so yeah, that's why they kicked me out. You know, that's why they don't want me back, because I'm a black woman. For real. this stuff would be really hilarious if it wasn't so tragic. I mean, for real. I am a black woman. Let's not forget. Okay, well, you're a black woman. Woo-ha. Okay, you're black. Lightfoot said in an article in the New Yorker Saturday, the Post reported, frankly, don't support us in leadership roles. Oh, my goodness. She's really reaching. Then how in the world do you all get voted in the first place? If they don't support you. Lightfoot finished Tuesday's election with only 16.4% of the vote, trailing Cook County Commissioner Brandon Johnson and former Chicago Public Schools Chief Paul Vallis. Folks, by the mere fact that she lost, by the mere fact that she received only 16%, of the vote lets me know that people were just disgusted with her. They said, we voted for her expecting this, but we got that. So, we got to kick her out. And it was so blatant. In analyzing how she went from political rock star to rock bottom, the Chicago Tribune claimed Lightfoot campaigned in 2019 by arguing crime was too high, saying she wanted Chicago to be the safest big city in the country. However, crimes reportedly skyrocketed on her watch. More than 800 homicides were committed in Chicago in 2021, the most in a quarter century. The number decreased by 14% last year, but the homicide rate stayed nearly 40% higher than in 2019. The city also reportedly experienced over 20,000 theft incidents in 2022, nearly twice as many as the previous year. Police say that compared to 2022, crime rates have soared in the first 3 weeks of this year by 61%. Diana DeGiacomo, I don't know how to pronounce that, who was robbed at gunpoint in December in the posh Lincoln Park area, bid Lightfoot farewell. She said Wednesday the only way to resolve the city's issues is through a change of government. For DeGiacomo, the city's crime surge was a key factor at the polls. Now, I saw Mayor Lightfoot give her concession speech, and she bring it, boy, why you gotta come on here? Oh man, I don't know if it's bring it, boy, or his wife. They posted in my chat room, says Lightfoot and Kareem Jean Pierre 2024. Is that the date you think they're going to run for president, or the date they're supposed to get married? I don't know. But anyway, in her concession speech, Lori Lightfoot actually said that she made Chicago safer. She said she made it safer. I thought it was their marriage date. I thought they were making plans to get married or something, you know, because both of them are lesbians. So I thought they took an interest in each other and they were sending out wedding invitations for their wedding, you know, I guess. But thank you for correcting me on that. Anyway, but she said she made Chicago a safer city. And that shows another aspect of her arrogance. And the thing about it is, it's like when people, they vote for these people, they see their charisma and everything, they vote for them, and then they're like, oh, this isn't what I wanted. This isn't what I signed up for or whatever. But people have been warning you about these people before they even came into office. They warned you about these people. But I had to correct myself, though, because I thought Lori Lightfoot would have gotten reelected, because some of you voters out there, y'all, and I'm not going to mince words when I say this, some of you all are very stupid. You all are very stupid. You always go by people's feelings. Or your own feelings. You go by charisma, and you say, I want this person to be president or mayor or governor and everything, and then, you know, everything goes to pot, and you're looking like, oh, I didn't know this. I didn't know. Someone told you about it, but you wanted to, you know, throw out the accusations of racism and transphobia, and you don't like homosexuals and everything and stuff like that. It had nothing to do with that. Nothing at all to do with that. But we don't have to worry about Lori Lightfoot anymore. If she runs for election in the future or something, I seriously doubt that she would get that position again. I seriously would doubt it. I would really seriously doubt it. But Sarge says, of course, Chicago is safer without Lori. Of course, Chicago is safer with Lori, and the Fuhrer is still awaiting Steiner's counterattack. You know, the sense of humor of some of my listening audience is pretty sharp. But anyway, we won't be hearing from him. I'm not so sure. And I was saying this to my wife the other day. The people who are replacing her, Chicago's still going to be run Democrat. There's still going to be a Democrat-run city. And a lot of people are like, you know, okay, well, Lori Lightfoot's out of there, but it's still going to be a Democrat-run city. It's still going to be a Democrat-run city. And I don't think Chicago's going to be that much better as a result. You know, Lori's out of there, but you still got Democrats running the city. I mean, look at what's happened to Baltimore. Oh, gosh. Look at what happened to Detroit. All these were Democrat-run cities. And a lot of them, they came into office and said, oh, I'm going to cut down on crime. Oh, jobs, jobs, jobs. Oh, education, education, education. And they ain't done a cotton biggin' thing to help any of those things that they talked about. All they want is power. That's all they care about. All the Democrats care about is power and getting in there and instituting their own ideals onto the populace. That's all they care about. Now, hopefully, you know, even though Chicago's still going to be run by Democrats, I'm hoping that these people, for the sake of people in Chicago, will keep their promises. But I'm not holding my breath. Because whenever I see someone with a D in front of their name, I ain't too confident if a person has an R in front of their name either. But whenever I see someone with a D in front of their name, I'm like, okay, it's going to be the same old, same old. But we'll see. I'm not making any predictions in the future. I'm just not confident that, you know, whoever's replacing Lori Lightfoot is going to do a better job. I really don't have a lot of confidence. I hope I'm wrong. This is one of the instances where I'm like, I certainly hope I am wrong. But a lot of times Democrats get into power, they run the city into the ground. Because they really don't care about the people. It's good to put up a facade and shine your aura and show that, oh, yeah, I am for the people. But it's another thing to really show that you are for the people by your actions. But I'm not too confident. I'm not, you know, somebody needs to step up to the plate in Chicago and say, okay, enough is enough. We are a laughingstock in America. Every time they talk about gun violence, what's the first city that they mention? Chicago. I think they said in Chicago, 65% of their murders have been unsolved. 65%. And I'm like, y'all got to be kidding me. This is crazy mess. But everybody wants to look the other way. Oh, well, I don't, well, nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. But anyway, let me go on to my next subject. I'm going to pull up my Gab page. If you want to check out my Gab page, it's Southeast Vents at Southeast Vents. And I don't know. I'm pretty sure you all are familiar with that blowhard named Joy Reid on MSNBC or PMSNBC, whatever you want to call it. I'm about to say Behar. Joy Reid. Joy Reid is basically a race hustler. That's basically what she is. She gets up there and she's always talking about how black people are, you know, they're falling behind and it's because of white supremacy and all this crazy mess. Even though she has a spot on a major news station and she is probably a millionaire, probably doesn't live in a black neighborhood, but she wants to sit there and bloviate about white supremacy and injustice against black people. Well, several months ago, and I don't know if you all remember this, I don't know how many months ago, she gets up here, she starts talking about how the media reports on crime. Like when people go missing. And she came up with a term called missing white woman syndrome. And this is based on the fact that they say, okay, when a white woman goes missing, oh, you hear it all over the news. Oh, my goodness, this white woman, oh, the vanilla-skinned woman, she's gone. Oh, my goodness, we got to find this white woman. But when it comes to a black woman, oh, nothing to see here. We don't care about black folk. We just care about the white women that get missing. And folks, keep in mind, it's not just white women that go missing. You got white men go missing, black men go missing. You know, everybody go, you know, everyone of any race tends to go missing, you know. But she's so upset because, you know, last year, I don't know if you all remember Gabby Petito. You know, she went missing and it was big news and whatever. And she went and people were trying to find, you know, this young lady, you know, it ended in tragedy though. And she's like, oh, y'all cared about the white woman, but what about this person? And what about that person? Now, my thing is this, first of all, in a lot of black communities, and I don't know why they are like this in a lot of black communities, but a lot of times you're not going to find the level of cooperation from the residents in black communities. And second of all, I don't recall a lot of the black websites or the black news personalities or any of them reporting on missing black people. But they always want to point the finger at somebody else, but they're not doing it themselves. And I pulled up this article from MSNBC and says, yes, the media is suffering from missing white woman syndrome. And I responded to it. I said, and MSNBC is suffering from failure to report on black crime syndrome. Like the sound of that better? Because whenever a black person gets gunned down by another black person, we don't hear anything about it. Black person kills a white person, we don't hear anything about it. But, oh, white person kills a black person, oh, my goodness. Get ready. You don't even have to write down the victim's excuse me. You don't even have to write down the victim's names. You just be like, oh, we'll hear enough about this. And it'll get burned in our brains soon enough. That's why we know the names of George Floyd and Michael Brown and Trayvon Martin, all the rest of them. Let me pull this article up. I don't know why it's taking a while for my article to come up, but here we go. MSNBC. Yes, the media is suffering from missing white woman syndrome. It's not wrong to care about Gabby Petito, but it's wrong to focus on her case exclusively. I'm pretty sure there were other white women missing during the time of Gabby Petito that they weren't focusing on exclusively either. And to me, it sounds like, you know, they're jealous. Oh, well, y'all just care about this white woman. And they come up with these terms, and they think they know what they are talking about. Uh-huh. Here's some more racism in America. The very country that you're benefiting from, you're sitting there on a news desk, flapping your yap, bouncing that lip. And you get paid for it, but you want to still talk about black injustice. And this article came out September 21st, 2021. So, like I said, it was a few months ago. Since word of her disappearance broke earlier this month, 22-year-old Gabby Petito has become a household name, thanks entirely to the American news media. I wonder what other names have become household names thanks entirely to the American news media. Breonna Taylor, George Floyd, Trayvon Martin, Michael Brown, Ahmaud Arbery. But they just want to focus on this one person. For the unaware, Petito's family first reported her missing September 11th after they'd been unable to reach her for several days. Authorities say she'd been traveling on a cross-country trip with her fiancé, Brian Laundrie, since July. Petito's family said she abruptly stopped replying to messages at the end of August, and last week police in Moab, Utah, released video recorded by an officer's body camera that showed Petito distraught after an alleged altercation with Laundrie. On Sunday, authorities announced they found a body consistent with descriptions of Petito in Bridger Teton National Forest in Wyoming. The details of Petito's disappearance have been shared frenetically online since she first reported missing. Some people have suggested the popularity of her story is due to its cinematic qualities, with some comparing it to a Lifetime movie. It might become a Lifetime movie. And others connected to Petito's disappearance to their favorite true crime podcast. In reality, data shows the popularity of this particular story is likely due to the way American media prioritizes missing people, not the specific details of Petito's case. During a 2004 journalism conference, legendary news anchor Gwen Ifill coined the term missing white woman syndrome to underscore the news media's fascination with white women who go missing. Black children go missing at a higher rate than white kids do. Yet black children who disappear are giving significantly less media attention than white ones. Racial disparity in missing persons cases is an absolutely real phenomenon, according to the evidence. A 2015 study found black children account for roughly 35% of missing children's cases, but they were only mentioned 7% of the time in media coverage about missing children. Once again, I believe the reason for that discrepancy is because a lot of times people in black neighborhoods, they don't like to comply with the police. They don't like to cooperate with the police. And by the way, a lot of these black, you know, run stations and news sites and whatever, they don't report on them either. So where's the racism? Pretend I'm from Missouri and show me. No offense to Bianchi. Anyway. Let's see here. Let me go back here. Okay. But anyway, let's see. Oh, man. My chat page done blew up. Let me see here. And finally, I got my chat page running. Finally got my chat page up and running. You know, last couple of weeks I've had, you know, little discrepancies on a computer. And I finally got my chat page up and running so I can see it with people and I can interact with you guys and everything. Let's see. Pianchi says, Brandon Johnson backed by the teachers union calling for $1 billion in new investments in education, training, and job placement in undeserved areas across the city and has pledged to cut wasteful spending in the city's budget. Same old, same old. I totally agree with you 100%. Johnson has been criticized on a number of fronts, including his backing of a proposal to charge subterranean suburban metro riders a surcharge on their tickets. He also has proposed a head tax on employees of companies in the city and also proposed a tax of nearly $100 million on airlines for polluting the city's air. Folks, did I lie? Did I lie? This is what you get when you vote for Democrats, people. This is what you get. But when people mention this, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. Let me go on. He also has called for a hike in Chicago's hotel tax, already the highest in the nation. Chicago must lead with and live by the promise to be a sanctuary city and welcome immigrants and refugees and treat them with dignity and respect. The sanctuary promise must extend to everyone who needs it in our city and residents both old and new. Our public schools must be sanctuaries for all children by investing in dual language programs, ethnic studies, and English as a second language. We must coordinate efforts with local communities with the infrastructure to support displaced immigrants and refugees and coordinate efforts at all levels of government to provide humane conditions for everyone. Brandon Johnson is for abortion clinics in public schools and sanctuaries for illegals. I told you all. They get up there, they start talking all that stuff, and that they're going to do, it's just a smoke screen to blind you from their real perspective. That's all it is. Oh, and now this is, oh, Sarge. Oh, gosh. You and Pianchi, y'all need to stop it with the common sense, okay? Y'all need to stop putting the common sense up in here. Y'all need to stop putting the facts up in here. Don't forget the fact that Johnson has backed defund the police efforts in Chicago recently. Oh, I thought he was going to stand behind our police officers. He's telling you that now. He's telling you, hey, I'm going to stand behind our police officers. But yet and still, there are receipts that show that Johnson has actually backed the defund the police rhetoric. I hate it when you guys come on here and hit me with facts. I just hate it. You all need to stop this mess. Now, reason why I mentioned about, you know, the white missing woman syndrome or whatever that garbage is. I pulled up an article this week on Yahoo News. Let me pull it up right now. And this is a bill in Minnesota. This is a bill that's coming in Minnesota. It says Minnesota bill would create nation's first office investigating missing black women and girls. The legislation would establish an office to review missing persons and cold cases. Minnesota state lawmakers are moving forward with a bill that will establish the nation's first office to investigate cases of missing black women and girls as tens of thousands of women of color remain missing in the U.S. On February 20th, the Minnesota House voted 110-19 in favor of advancing House Bill HF 55. And it is on the fast track this year to be signed into law. Representative Ruth Richardson, DFL, Democratic Farmer Labor Party, the bill's author, told Yahoo News. This is part of the government, the governor's budget, and it's one of his top priorities. So we are excited to be at a point where we can finally get this across the finish line. In previous years, similar bills passed in the Minnesota House but failed in the Senate. If the legislation is signed into law, it will require the Bureau of Criminal Apprenticeship to operate a missing person alert program for black women and girls. Okay, now, first of all, like I said before, black women and girls, aren't they the only people that go missing? What about black men and boys? Huh? Why does it only got to be for black women and girls? And by the way, as I mentioned before, every race of people in this country tends to have someone that has gone missing at some point. Now, you see why we are still divided in this country? Oh, we need something for, you know, we need to report on just black women. White woman might come in and say, oh, can you all help me find my baby? She's been missing. Oh, no, we're sorry, white lady. This is only for black women. You know, you got a white missing person something out there. You all only care about the white people, so you all go on out there and you see why we're divided, folks. The Office of Missing and Murdered Black Women and Girls, once again, notice the specification of the gender. The Office of Missing and Murdered Black Women and Girls will review missing persons and cold cases, and the first of its kind project is expected to cost roughly, $2.5 million. Okay, so let me ask you this. Suppose the person that is missing and exploited is a trans woman. I know it sounds ridiculous, but let's just say the person who goes missing is a man pretending to be a woman. Are you going to look for that person? Even though that person really isn't a woman. Or maybe their son or father or whoever gets missing, and the people who report them missing say, you know what? He looks like a man, but he's really a woman, just so that they can search for him. In the United States, black women only make up 13% of the female population, but studies found that they make up 35% of missing women in the country. In 2020, during the pandemic, nearly 100,000 of the 250,000 women that went missing in the U.S. were women of color. Here's a novel idea. Why don't you search for missing period, for missing people, period? Why does it have to be black women? Why do you have to specialize in black women and girls? Why don't you look for missing people, period? I'm not sure y'all remember the case of in 1979 of the little boy, I think he was 7 years old, Eaton Pates up in New York, little boy. They finally found out who his killer was, but it took him, oh, good gracious, about 40 years to find a killer. That went nationwide. And it took them 40 years to find his killer. So you're going to say, okay, well, you know, nah, little white boy, nah, we're not going to look for you, but we're just going to look for the little white girls. Y'all see what I'm talking about here? Currently, national statistics tell us that over 60,000 black women are missing. Excuse me. And black women are twice as likely than they appear to be victims of homicide. Brittany Lewis, co-founder of Research in Action, told Yahoo News. In the state of Minnesota, black women are 3 times more likely to be murdered than white women in Minnesota. I wonder why that is. According to the state report completed by Minnesota's Missing and Murdered Black Women and Girls Task Force created in 2021, black women are less likely to receive media attention when they go missing. What we're finding is that people are disappearing for a number of reasons: sex trafficking of our young girls, increasing domestic violence, mental health reasons, and there are a lot of systemic reasons. Okay, you know, they're trying to make a stab at systemic racism there. Natalie Wilson, co-founder of the Black and Missing Foundation, a nonprofit organization that brings awareness to missing people of color, told Yahoo News. Why don't we just look for people who are missing, period? Why do you have to have a special committee to look for people of color? And more specifically, females of color. I mean, like I said, we live in cuckoo banana town now. According to the state report completed by Minnesota's Missing and Murdered Black Women and Girls Task Force created in 2021. Oh, okay, I already did that one. What we're finding is that people are disappearing for a number of reasons. Sex trafficking of our young girls, increasing domestic violence. Okay, I did that one. Wilson says she is working to bridge the gap. All missing women had the same media attention and resources. No, you're not trying to bridge the gap. You're not trying to bridge the gap because you only want to stay on the black people's side. Why not just report on all missing people, be they black, white, Hispanic, Oriental, male or female? In 2016, when 21-year-old Keshae Jacobs went missing in Richmond, Virginia, her mother said she faced barriers that made her feel like she was the only one searching for her child. There you go, the feel. Oh, it felt like it. Sometimes I feel like I'm the only one fighting here, Tony Jacobs, Keshae's mother told Yahoo News. When I went to go file the police report that she was missing, it felt like the police officer didn't believe me. It felt like it? I mean, what do you mean it felt like he didn't believe you? It felt like it. Oh, because I'm black, you know, I expect this. So I feel like he doesn't believe me. And let's talk about the cooperation among your fellow black folks. Your typical black person is not very trusting of the police. So a lot of times they're not going to cooperate with the police. Perhaps that's the reason why a lot of these missing black people or these missing girls, excuse me, go unreported, because your own folk are not cooperating with the police. I'm just saying, folks, I'm just saying. I'm skipping something here. People said, oh, she had a boyfriend. She just ran out. She was pregnant, and she was scared to tell me. I mean, these are the first things that come to my mind, and I'm like, this is not fair, Jacob said. According to experts, cases that involve missing black women and girls stay open 4 times as long compared to other cases involving white people. People are taking them because they know they're not getting attention. Oh, let me kidnap this black girl because nobody gonna care about her. Here they are. I shouldn't have to wait 6 years, and I honestly believe I'm fighting by myself to bring my daughter home. In 2014, 8-year-old Relisha Rudd went missing in Washington, D.C., and still has not been found. If a white girl with blonde hair and blue eyes goes missing, every light comes on. And see, they always say this. If it was a white person, it'd be different. Shut up. But when a black girl or a black woman goes missing, you never hear about it. I wouldn't say that. Dr. Verna Price, founder of Girls Taking Action, a nonprofit organization in Minnesota that mentors young girls, told Yahoo News. Mm. What about the little black girls that get murdered by other black people? Huh? Anyone remember Jasmine Barnes, Sequoia Turner? Were those stories withheld because white people don't care about black kids? Hmm? I mean, for real, people, come on, let's be for real. And these very same people that talk about, oh, missing white woman syndrome, you're not reporting on them either. So drop the racism, drop the racist stick, drop it. Because you're not doing your so-called duty either. You all fail to report on black-on-black crime. And you're so repulsed by it, you always want to retort with, well, what about white-on-white crime? How come it got to be black-on-black crime? Because we are comparing, a lot of you all out there, y'all always want to talk about, oh, we're being hunted down by the police and all this and everything. Okay, well, what about how many black people are getting killed by other black people? That's the reason why the term black-on-black crime came up. Of course there's white-on-white crime. But why does there have to be white-on-white crime or black-on-black crime or Asian-on-Asian crime? Crime is crime. But the reason why black-on-black crime gets mentioned is because a lot of us are so deluded to the fact that, so many black people, we're being hunted down by white folks, but we're killing ourselves. 95% of black murders are committed by another black person. That is a fact. But you don't want to, you want to ignore that because you think the term black on black crime has been formed by a bunch of white supremacists that don't like black people. Get out of here with that mess. Let's talk about black on black crime. Let's talk about how so many more black people are murdered at the hands of other black people than they are murdered by white folks. Now, if white folks were going around hunting down black people and they were the main cause of black people being killed in this country, you might have a case there. But you want to talk about missing girls not being reported in the news, how come you all don't report on murdered girls being reported in the news? I mean, come on, people. Let's be reasonable here. Let's be reasonable. This is why I named my show Black by Color Only, because to me, it's not about black crime and white crime. It's about crime. It's not about black injustice or white injustice. It's about injustice, period. And black folks, let me tell you all something. Let me tell you all something. I've said it on this show. I know I've said it ad nauseum, but you have the same opportunities that white people have in this country. But a lot of you all are too mentally and intellectually lazy, and you won't get out there off your butts and make something of yourselves. Some of you all won't get a job because you're afraid, oh, the white man got all the good jobs. Just get a doggone job, doggone it. The white man got all the jobs. And we can point out examples of black people who have succeeded in this country, they're making six-figure salaries, but you want to sit there and make the excuse, oh, they had to work twice as hard as the white man. No, some of them got advantage. There are certain people willing to lower the standards of success in order for black people to get into certain industries. They call it affirmative action. Colleges are notorious for it, lowering the entry-level standards in order to get more black people to come in there. And to me, if that is not racist, basically what that's saying to me is like, oh, black people will never excel to the level of white people, so we got to lower the standards so that that can give them an equal footing with white people. To me, that's about as racist as you can get. My thing is this. Someone come to me and say, okay, Vincent, you're a black guy. Okay, we're going to lower the standards for you so you can – so you can measure up to the white guys. I'm like, no, give me the same measurements of success that you give to the white people. Don't lower my standards. And show me one black person that's had to work twice as hard or 10 times as hard, some people say, as white people to get the level of success that they have. And not only that, when they get that level of success, I'm talking about the black successful people out there, they get that level of success and they show it to their fellow black people, you know what they do? Oh, you just played up to the white man. Really? That's why a lot of times when I hear that term crab in a bucket syndrome, I always picture black folks tearing each other down. Someone get successful. Oh, you just played up to the white man. Oh, we can't measure up to the white man because, you know, the white man, we got to work twice as hard as the white man. But you know who gets left out in these arguments? Asian folks. Asian folks are the most successful group of people in this country. Well, I'd say Asian folks and Nigerians are the most successful groups of people in this country. They don't make the excuses, and they're more successful than the white folks are. Nobody says anything about that. And have you ever talked to a Nigerian before? Have you ever really talked to a Nigerian, sat down, had a conversation with them? Those are some intelligent people. They are smart. They say 2/3 of the Nigerian population of Houston, Texas, they're college educated. Well, tell me that white people held them back. Tell me that. And then the news media gets up there. They throw their little smoke screens out there. You know, I was listening to someone. I forgot who it was, but they were talking about when Donald Trump. They were accusing Donald Trump pushing out the rhetoric and about the Wuhan virus. It comes from China, called it the China virus, and that encouraged people to commit more acts of crime against the Oriental people. And I'm like, first of all, Oriental people were already facing a crisis of criminal activity against them long before COVID came around. But Donald Trump comes around, he says, it's the China virus. Oh, he's responsible for the increased violence against Asian people. Okay, well, let's look at who commits the most crime against Asian people. Is it white folks? Nope. Is it Hispanics? Nope. You ain't gonna say, wait a minute, it can't be black people. Yep. And not only that, black people commit more acts of crime against anybody, even those who look like them. Philadelphia, you know who commits the most acts of crime against the Liberians that live up there? Black folks. Most acts of crime committed against Nigerians? Black folks. Most crimes committed against Asian folks? Black folks. When you want to talk about one group of people committing acts of crime against another, black folks are at the top of the list. Now, you can sit there and call me a coon. You can call me all them little cute little names y'all got for people like me that want to bring facts to the table. You can call me all them names you want to. But basically, what you're doing, you are in denial. Because you want to act like that black people, oh, we didn't do anything. We're just innocent people skipping to grandmama's house with goodies in our baskets. And then these evil white people come and descend on us and they do all kinds of harm against us. We didn't do nothing to anybody. Didn't do nothings. oh, y'all don't be down, y'all don't gang up on white people in the schools or Asian people in the schools and beat them down. Oh, we don't do that. You're the number one group of people that commit violence against other groups of people here in America. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But those are the facts. That's why I come here and do this. You know, and I get accused of, you know, I'm trying to be white and I'm trying to play up to the white folks and everything. And you're getting paid by white people to say what you say and everything. I ain't getting paid a dime to do this. You just want to kiss up to the white folks. You just want to, you know, the latest one is, you know, that I'm a black comfort dog for white conservatives. That's a little cute little name. That's the best little name I think I've heard since Mr. Step It and Fetch It. I don't consult with white people on what to say on this program. I just see what's going on in the world and I report on it. That's all I do. That's all. Let's see here. Yeah, Bianchi. What about missing white girls? Yeah, what about them? Yeah. I mean, why do we have to concentrate on missing white folks or missing black folks? Why don't we concentrate on missing folks, period? I mean. But this is the kind of nonsense people, they bounce off at the lip and they think they know what they're talking about. They feel like they're scholarly. They feel like they, you know, and a lot of these people probably don't even read or research. Yeah, I said it. But anyway, my goodness, this first hour went by so fast. But anyway, I am going to go into the advertisements, and when I come out on the other side, I will take your phone calls. Now, once again, you know, when it comes to the phone calls, if you all come to the show and you call in and you have your hand raised, y'all just don't just leave, okay? Because I had two people with their hands raised. Now I only got one person with their hand raised. You know, just be patient. You know, keep in mind, this is my program. I got to get out. I got to say what I got to say, you know. And see, if I could do a three-hour or a four-hour program, I would. I would. But you come in, you got something to say, you know, and you got your hand raised. Just be patient, okay? Just be patient. I'm not trying to suppress your opinion or anything like that. You know, just come in and say, you know. But some people, they're like, oh, he talked too much, so I gotta go, you know. Well, then if you're pressed for time, then you know, don't call in. That's all I gotta say, because I really do value your phone calls, okay? I really do value your phone calls, whether you agree with me or don't agree with me. I really do value your phone calls. But anyway, let me go on to the advertisements, and when I'm finished, I'll see you all on the other side. You are listening to Black by Color Only on CNM Radio.
We will be right back with more of NWCR's Truth Festival. Stay tuned.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up, like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Thank you. For the past few months, we have not heard from our good friend and mentor, our very own Uncle Ben Fisher, but he has been around, though very busy, starting businesses and trying to get things going where he is. So his show has been put on hiatus for now, but in the coming month or so, we are looking to see him return to CNM as he is about to retire and will give him more time to let us know all the things that he has a good ear for hearing. Ben's mellow voice and his expertise in engineering, along with his love of America, keeps us all informed as to what we should be doing and why the things are happening here in America as they are. The only side that seems to have consequences anymore are the right. The left can do anything they want, then blame it on the right, and always laying the blame where it shouldn't be, and they always get away with it. This has to stop. Listen to our very own Uncle Ben Fisher when American by Design returns soon on Sundays, where America always wins.
If you have a show that you are looking to get on the air on a network, CNM is looking for you. Give us a call at 505-317-8741 or email us at conservativenationmedia, all one word, 2017@gmail.com. Send us a short MP3 giving us a sample of what you would sound like, the day you want to be on, and the time you want to air your show, and we will do the rest. CNM is a talk radio network with a conservative bent, and we love America, her constitution, her laws, and we support our boys in blue and our military too. Come join us and get yourself on the air. The days we have available for new shows is Monday through Thursday, where we have no shows, and we can accommodate one show more on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Give us a call and see if we can get your show on the air on CNM. And see what happens then, where America always wins.
All right. Welcome back to the show. Welcome back. If you'd like to be a guest to call in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And Pianchi has left something very interesting. I've seen this story. It comes from the Daily Mail. And it says, fury as Minneapolis Teachers Union negotiates clause requiring white educators to be laid off first, regardless of seniority, to make up for past discriminations. This is sad, people. Really, I shouldn't be laughing. I should be crying. Rule is part of contract that ended 2-week strike this past March. The stipulation is part of a new agreement starting in spring 2023 between the Minneapolis Federation of Teachers and Minneapolis Public Schools. Part of the agreement was an attempt to reformat how the school district hires and keeps teachers of color. The new contract says that they may go outside the order to avoid layoffs to a teacher who is a member of a population underrepresented. This prioritizing may apply to bring back teachers who are laid off should rehires occur. Now, see, this is the stupidity that is going on in this country. And one thing I get tired of is people thinking that a certain person qualifies for a job just because of their skin color. You know, what's her name, the press secretary, when people announced that she was going to be the press secretary, everybody's like, oh, she's a black woman. So does that qualify her? I don't care who you are. I just want to know if you can do the job. I don't care if you're an alien from Mars and you got naturalized here in the United States. I just want to know that you can do the doggone job. Bump this color scheme, okay? Oh, she's a, did y'all see? Oh, she's a black woman. Oh, yeah. Okay, so does that qualify her? I read y'all the list from The Root last week about people that they said were qualified to be president of the United States. And I said, y'all, you all have got to be kidding me. You all have seriously got to be kidding me. Just because you're black and liberal. I got to stipulate that, because if you're black and conservative, nah. If you're Clarence Thomas or Larry Elder or Herman Cain or someone like that, oh, no, you don't qualify. You got to be liberal and black. All the black organizations we have, you know, the NAACP, they need to change their name to the NAALCP. I mean, all they care about is liberalism. Black people, that I don't know why we vote so profusely for liberal black folks, because liberalism is not helping us. By nature, we're supposedly conservative, but we always want to vote these liberals in because they promise us stuff. They're giving us promises of free stuff. They're helping us to get our 40 acres and a mule or whatever. Anyway, I'm over here just flapping off at the yap, and some of the fruit bats are mad about it. That's my fruit bat alarm. That means I am coming to the phones. And if you're a person, you're calling in and whatever, and you want to be on this show, just come here with respect, okay? Don't come here being a fruit bat with your excessive profanity and ad hominem attacks and character assassination and trying to talk over me and everything and stuff like that, you know, gaslighting and all that. If you're a person, you want to indulge in that type of activity, I would advise you to please hang up, because I will be happy. I will be happy to oblige you if you don't do so. But anyway, let me get this first caller here. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Vincent. What's going on, man?
What's cracking?
Hey, before we go any further, we have to have a 3-second moment of silence for Irondale, whatever his name is.
Irondale.
1, 2, 3. Okay, that's enough.
All right. he'll appreciate that. He really will. You know, I think he's out of the hospital. I didn't check. He was supposed to leave the hospital on Wednesday. He might be at home resting. He's got 2 grown daughters. I don't know if they're looking after him or whatever. And the thing about it, here's the ironic thing about it. His ex-wife, passed away last year. So, you know, that family's still in somewhat of a turmoil, and I think he'll greatly appreciate that.
Well, you know, you mentioned a lot of stuff today, and it just goes to show you all how the madness continues. Although I didn't have to vote for her, but just listening about some of the damn stuff that this Lori Lightfoot was putting out, she had it so that she wouldn't recognize any white reporters at her conference, at her press conference. Now, if that ain't racist, and I don't even know how she got 16% of the vote. It just goes to show you how messed up this country is. And I can't understand, like, for instance, in this thing with these schools up there in Minnesota where they want to lay off white teachers with seniority, no matter how much, before they do lay off black teachers. That's totally ridiculous.
Yeah.
When would you ever thought that you would see blacks standing up for racist ideas like that, and also for segregation.
Yeah, exactly. And not only that, the thing that really bothers me is that when they put these proposals out there, that there are actually people who are willing to listen to them, you know, willing to consider, yeah, okay, you know, let's put this to a vote. I'd be like, man, get this garbage out my face. Y'all got to be kidding me. You know, but then they're like, oh, well, we got to listen to them. So, you know, we don't want to be seen as racist. I mean, it's totally ridiculous. And Minneapolis is just going down.
Then you got this black man for the mayoral position in Chicago. He's for sanctuary cities for illegals, for increasing the gasoline, increasing the fuel tax on airlines because he say they are polluting the skies over Chicago.
Yeah.
How the hell is that going down? How are you going to be able to discern the smoke coming out of airlines compared to the smoke coming off of all the guns that blacks are using to kill and shoot each other?
Point taken. That's a good point.
You're damn right it's a good point. It's a fact.
I mean,
hell, anytime
real.
You shoot that many people in a year's time, and you know they're slick about it. I kept track from May to May. I don't do that from January to December stuff because they mess over that. They got ways of making that look like not as what it's supposed to be. But damn,
yeah,
man, when you
exactly.
have 1,845 with 745 murders, 2020. 4,666 with 643 murders, 2021. Thus far, oh my goodness, thus far, since May of 2022, and we're getting close to May of 2023, 2,833 blacks shot by other blacks with 484 murders. No white police officer shot nobody. You hear me? No white police officer shot none of them.
I ain't hear the reports. And I'm pretty sure if a white police officer did shoot one, we'd hear about it for the next 10 years. But we're not hearing that out of Chicago.
You got the injustice system there where your Cook County prosecutor don't seem like she wants to prosecute anybody. I keep thinking about Justice Smollett when those thugs was trying to bleach ice cubes on him. That frigid night in Chicago. See, the thing that they make mistakes of, they think that people ain't got enough damn sense to do the research to see what temperature bleach freezes.
I mean, really? And,
well, yeah.
And what person is going to walk to a subway at 2 o'clock in the morning and minus 20 degrees? I mean, for real.
Bleach would have long since.
Long
since froze before it got to that temperature.
I mean, really?
Bunch of dumbasses. I tell you the truth. And people fall for that crap. That woman raised taxes. Mm-hmm. She was soft on crime. And you can't wonder. You had over 3,000 blacks millionaires moved off of South Shore Drive, I read one report. Chicago Bears was getting removed, and she started talking about putting the dome over the stadium. Well, that wasn't in order to keep the Chicago Bears in the stadium. You're going to put that dome over the stadium to keep bullets from falling out of the sky, hitting people in the head while they watch the game.
I mean, really. that's for real, I tell you. I mean, the Soldier Field was just like a bastion in Chicago, and now they're talking about, hey, we're moving out of city limits, you know, because we basically want our citizens who come to our football games. We want to be sure that they're assured that they're going to be safe, you know. And when she came up there and she said, you know, Chicago is safer, I said, oh my goodness. I said, y'all
and
got
these
to be
black males. These are black males that's committing all these damn crimes.
Yep.
You
black
can't
males.
See the picture no other way.
I'm telling you.
You got folks always wanting to take up for these black males. As blacks make up 12% of the U.S. population, well, the rightful thing to do is to divide it down the middle or either a little bit to one side more females than males. Well, then you talk about 6.5% of my males. Well, wait a minute.
Yep.
Wait a minute. You got to also further divide that into three areas. You got to go from those that's 0 to about 10. Then you got to go to those that's about 50 up to 65. They ain't out there running around in the winter, 23 below 0, trying to beat somebody upside the head.
That's right.
So then you're looking at about, what, 3%? If you're looking at that many, 4%?
Yeah.
4% of the black male population is committing all these crimes in these big cities. Chicago, St. Louis, Philadelphia, Baltimore, and every place else. And you've seen these videos, how they starting to attack these whites.
Mm-hmm.
You see the video, how that black girl, female, attacked that young white girl, slapped upside the head, kicked her all in the head. Why come she's not being held for a hate crime? God damn, it sure didn't look like no love to me that was going down.
Not at all. And the student that attacked the teacher because she took his Nintendo Switch.
Nintendo.
You know, yeah. Beat her down. You know, she had to spend time in the hospital, and he'll probably end up coming back to school. You know, they'll be like,
they have a march day for him, a slice pizza day for him.
Oh my goodness! Wow. Mm. Because he's a black darling. Yeah, it's crazy. It really is. Let me get this other caller on here. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Man, you know what irritates me about your show today, man? You want to know what it is? Yeah. Look here, man. Your compelling discussion has caused me to interrupt my solid and newly emergent research that is revealing that modern-day liberals have an evolutionary branch that traces back to the fruit bat as a point of origin. That's what irritates about your show today, man. I'm about ready to close the loop on the research, but that's okay. I don't mind, so it's all right. Cause I like talking to you and Brother Bianca, y'all here. But look here, man. There is much to loathe and despise and fear about the philosophy of the Marxists, the identity-obsessed progressives, and the general universe of leftists, among which is their fanaticism, their murderously thoughtless cruelty, their demagoguery, their bullying and censorious fascist imperatives, their anti-historicism, their pettifogging delusions, their endless war against human nature. Good God, that may be one of the worst things. That's just to name a few. But most of all, and this is what really is probably maybe, you know, the worst, when they seize governmental power, it's their lack of responsibility and accountability, and most infamously, we got Chicago as a perfect example whereof which I speak. Now, we've been talking about it. Pion can put out a lot of good information. I can put out a lot of good information. But just listen to what they do in their own words. Lori Lightfoot was elected with a landslide in 2019. I mean, she got over 60-something percent of the vote. So clearly people were not against her being the mayor of Chicago. She got the vote. She had the vote to do it. It's her horrid governance. She is literally the worst mayor in the United States. Arguably, you could put Toya Cantrell in there. You might be able to put a couple others. De Blasio used to have until he left. But, okay, she's got to be in the top three worst ever in the history of the United States. What is bad about them and the way she governed, over the course of time that she governed, not just her insanely destructive and horrid policies, you know, that almost amounted to, like I said, cruelty against her constituency. Not just that. It's her unbelievable ability to refuse to accept responsibility in the most accountable single position in the Chicago government. That is the office of mayor. the one for which you must be prepared to accept responsibility for everything good and bad in your administration. Now, for instance, when we talk about the crime thing, Lori, when it was getting out there, people were pointing out how bad the crime situation, how overall crime had gone up in all the major categories of violent crime had gone up something like 49 and 50-something percent, with some categories being well over 100% increases, like carjacking 161%, and burglary like 70-something percent, and rape 78%, and just ridiculous figures like this. And her response was to accuse businesses of not hiring enough security officers and spending money on security protocols. Now, we're talking about public safety. We're not talking about crime that goes on behind closed doors. There's not much she or the police can do about that. But I'm talking about stuff that happens in public spaces. And the kind of crime we're talking about was happening in public spaces. And she refused to accept responsibility for her lack of action in it and her hamstringing her own police department by deflecting it onto business owners who are the victims of this woman and her insane policies. I mean, it's just amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, another thing about leftists, man, they have this alarming tendency to side with evil. Whenever they have an opportunity to side with evil or bad, they take the opportunity, it seems. For instance, in Washington, D.C., carjackings are up 111% in that city. So what is their response? Same thing with thefts, armed robberies. So what is the response? To reduce the penalties for armed robbery and carjacking. Only leftists do these kinds of things. Nobody else ever does. Let me say that again. Even Biden couldn't go along with these fools. Because, you know, the Congress and the President can step in and override certain, because D.C. ain't a state. It ain't independent. It's the nation's capital. Congress has oversight over everything the city council does, including the ability to override some of their legislation that is either enacted, proposed. They can override it. And that's what they chose to do with this, because this is just too insane even for rats. Even rats can't accept this kind. Most rats can't accept this kind of insanity. Problem is bad, so let's lower the penalties for the crimes, which are increasing exponentially. Only demon rats think like this. And in Arizona, another example. The woman who stole the election in Arizona and became Governor Katie Hobbs. Now, she said on Friday, yesterday, that she wouldn't execute a death row prisoner named Aaron Gunches, even though the Supreme Court gave a warrant saying that they must grant the request for execution because his appeals process was complete. But Hobbs said there's wiggle room in the court ruling. She says the court doesn't require an execution, even though the court said it does require an execution. And she says this is consistent with the law on separation. All of a sudden now these suckers are learning about separation of powers. I wonder where they discovered it. Anyway, the separation of powers with the judicial executive branches in its most serious exercise of the power of the state. Now, this guy was convicted in 2002. That's 21 years ago. Convicted of a murder that he kidnapped this guy and shot him. And in November, the guy, the criminal, asked the Supreme Court to issue his own death warrant. He called for justice and closure to the victim's family. An attorney general at the time, Mark Brnovich, asked for the warrant of execution. Now, she says she ain't going to allow no executions, so she receives a report from a death penalty independent review commission. Now, think about it for a minute. Here's a guy who's had every single appeal available to him in the state of Arizona, every single one. He's been given due process, as the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution requires it be done. He is asked to have his death warrant executed. And this woman would rather ensure the killing of hundreds of thousands of babies in the womb who are as innocent as it is possible to be, but will not expedite the murder of a duly convicted criminal, sentenced and convicted of murder, even when he asked for it.
Yeah, yeah.
And the,
I mean, for real.
Always side with bad and evil. Always. Always.
And
I don't know what it is about him, but to paraphrase Malcolm X, We need to extirpate them from American public policy by any means necessary.
Yeah. And I want to talk on your point about, you know, them reducing the penalties for certain crimes and everything. And common sense would tell people that when you're reducing the penalty for a crime, you're giving people more incentive to commit that crime, which means it's going to increase the crime. I don't understand why people don't – I don't understand what type of education people have been receiving over the years, or if they've been snorting some funny stuff or whatever. I mean, they sit there and they talk about, oh, yeah, we need to reduce the penalty for this and the crime will go down. No, it will not go down, you know, because a lot of people, their hearts are set for evil. And if you give them less of a penalty for doing that evil, they're just going to be more encouraged to commit it, you know. And I don't know what goes into that type of thinking. And they act like they're smarter than the rest of us.
Well, there's a law of human nature called the law of incentives, and human beings respond to incentives in fairly predictable ways. And you incentivize a thing, you get more of it. It's just that simple. It's like taxing something, you tend to get less of it. And when you untax it, you get more of it. I mean, all those things are consonant with human nature, you know? And the one thing leftists have a problem with, like I said, they are literally at war with human nature itself. You incentivize out of wedlock birth rate by rewarding it with government checks, just simply by showing up and requesting it and being in the appropriate status, then you tend to get more of it because, you know, in 1970, black women were married at a higher rate than white women were. In 1970, black women were married at a higher rate than white women were. And all of a sudden we came along with LBJ, which started in 1965, basically, but the impact of it was beginning to be felt in 1970, and that's when you saw the downward spiral in marriage rates in the black community. Now, 1970 is not exactly ancient history. It's well within living memory. I remember it. Millions of people living today still remember it. And black people, women, were actually married at a higher rate then than white women were then.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, we got the incentives to not marry, and lo and behold, today 70% of children live without their continually father presence in their home, which, as I have said and will continue to maintain for the rest of my life forever, the best police officer for a black man, a young black man, or a white man for that instance, doesn't matter who the child is, the best police officer for any adolescent male is a lovingly authoritative man who is that child's father. There is no better police.
What,
none.
That was,
cannot be.
That was so back then, but today's time, I'm sorry. These men nowadays.
And there's a reason for it, though. We got to remember the reason is why it is no longer so, and quit pretending that it just spouted out of nowhere due to white racism, white supremacy, and capitalist oppression.
And this stuff about, I need for somebody, they keep talking about this. Yeah, and they made the black man leave the house. Well, where is the law on that? You can't say it. You can't produce a law that stipulated that. The whole idea was this, that if you had an adult that was in the household on the computation of how much welfare benefits that you was going to get, you had to include him in the mix because guess what? He should be contributing to the running of the household. What are you going to do, stay there for free?
Man, well.
That's true, though. And you know, they
they're
going to
get transgendered homeless in San Francisco a $1,200 check. Now, if you're just an ordinary homeless person, you get $1,000 for being homeless. But if you're transgendered and homeless, you get $1,200 a month. This is the way leftists think. They are insane. They are mad. They are socially destructive and forgotten. And, you know, I'm through trying to make accommodations with their philosophies. There's no way we're going to have a civil society and a constitutional republic with these people anywhere near the levers of power. It cannot be done. The best solution is, as Marjorie Taylor Greene tried to imply, federalism. So where you live doesn't have to be like California. At the very best. Where we live, we don't have to live in a country that is governed or state that is governed like California or New York or Illinois or Massachusetts or New Jersey. You know, we have a federalist system, the Constitution being the bedrock in the floor below which nobody can go. You're free to govern it in any manner you wish. That means the fruitcakes and fruit bats out there in California, let them govern the way they want to govern, and let us, for God's sake, govern the way we feel we need to govern in the states we want to live in.
That's right. I mean, for real. And I've often heard people.
Can't be no peace if we keep going at the rate we're going.
Yeah. I've often heard people say that the reason why California is experiencing people emigrating from the state is because, you know, the greedy rich people, they just want to hold on to their riches and whatever. No, it's not, you know, and once again, everybody wants to point everything at the greedy rich people and everything. No, if you worked hard for your finances, no one should say, okay, well, you got a lot of finances, so it should be no problem for you if we decide to take a little bit off the top. No, that's what I worked for. You didn't work for it. You know, the government doesn't. The only way government makes its money is through taxation. But you're sitting there telling me that because I'm rich, you know, whatever, and that's the reason why I should see it as a my duty to allow you to come in and take my money. No, I'm going somewhere where my finances are going to count for something, and I don't need some greedy government bureaucrat coming in and telling me, hey, you know, I'm your Robin Hood. I'm here to steal from the rich and give to the poor. You know, I was watching an article the other day how Joe Biden is trying to, you know, forgive student debt. You know, trying to give forgive student debt, and I'm like this: look, if you went into debt to get an education, then it's not my responsibility to help you pay that off. That's your responsibility. You're the one that made that decision. Look, I got my own problems. I don't need to be trying to help you get out of your problems, and I got my own, and I don't even know you. You know, and this is the lunacy that we see going on in our government today. You know, they think they're doing us a favor, and a lot of us are too simple, too naive to realize the government is not there to help you. They're there to take your money and to gain to gain power over you, and you don't even realize that according to the Constitution, that it's the people who run who are the bosses in the government. We're the ones who run the government, but we have gotten so. I don't know why we've gotten to the point where we think that because someone is a governor or a president or a member of Congress or something like that, that these are the elites and that we need to rise to their beck and call. I really don't understand why
Vince,
we have
it's
gotten
even worse
to that point.
Than that. And this is what's worse about it. It'd be different if we could be certain that all of these edicts and everything were coming from at least the people whom are elected and whom are directly accountable to us. Now, you know, that would be one thing, even though it would still be bad to get these kind of policies from such people. But there is considerable evidence now that shows they aren't the ones who are making many of these policies. They're being made by permanent bureaucrats within the administrative deep state. And we are being governed by a coterie of bureaucrats who have their fingers on the lever of the power and pull the strings of these marionettes that are elected to the positions. That's the problem, even more so than bad policies on the elected leaders. Not true. That's not true in every case. It's certainly true with the president. I mean, look at this fool. This fool right now gets passionate. I mean, he gets in a dander. You can see his old brain creaking and crogging, and the veins start standing out in his forehead when he talks about the sacrosanct borders of Ukraine. And right now, the Russians are talking about a big counteroffensive this spring, which might put as many as 300,000 to 500,000 people going across that Ukrainian border. Of course, they're going to be having tanks and heavy artillery and ground attack aircraft and, you know, multiple launch rocket systems, the whole shebang. I get that. But still, the numbers are 300,000 to 500,000. Right now, they've been fighting on a shoestring with like 200,000, 250,000 troops. They're going to add to that in a massive counteroffensive attempt to steamroll what's happening. But I'm digressing. on our southern border, just about that many people are coming in the country every damn month.
Yeah. Yep.
At least half that many. I mean, half, not two. We're getting in the neighborhood close to 300,000 every month of people who are apprehended and being processed. We're not talking about the people who get away.
Yeah.
We got that kind of invasion, even worse, in numerically at least, on our southern border, and you don't hear him ever getting worked up and passionate about that. In fact, he kind of likes it and wants to keep it continuing, and certainly the people who are pulling his strings want it to continue even further.
Yeah.
Man, everything is the only thing I think I've ever agreed with Al Gore when he said, when Kevin said about something about everything that should be up is down, and everything that should be down is up. That's about the only thing I've agreed. That's what we're looking at today.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Man.
Can I pose this question to you about one of my topics today? What do you think about this missing white woman syndrome that Joy Reid was talking about several months ago? And the state of Minnesota is trying to push a bill where they will have a type of task force that helps to search for black women and girls, as if black men and boys don't go missing, you know. And I just wanted to ask your thoughts on that one.
Well, you know, speaking of to the general proposition of missing black girls and women's thing, you know, with liberals, these sorts of initiatives are twofers. You know, you get black and women in the same bureaucratic title. Missing black women,
yeah,
kind
that's
of twofer.
Yeah.
So we understand how that goes, but actually, we got to understand that with leftists, it's all about pandering. Everything's about pandering. The most loyal constituent to leftism today in a demon rat party is black women. They are, you know, and people like Joy Reid, I think, like most leftists and progressives and Marxists, I believe Joy Reid is jealous of white women. I think so too. And she is jealous. You know, I thank God every day the woman I was married to, a black woman, completely confident in herself and her skin, never expressed any resentment toward white women simply for being white women. Because she was confident in herself, she was confident in her attractiveness, she was confident in everything about her, and she was perfectly happy, and I never heard a cross word about white women ever cross her lips. I think these people like her are insecure, that they have deep-rooted psychiatric problems, and of course they will never be responsible for any of their own problems, because everything would be like post-traumatic slavery syndrome. You know,
it's
the white ways that impose this mental health problems on me. I'm not responsible for anything having to do with my mental health. You know, I mean, it is just astounding the state of public dialogue today. It's almost something that's out of some sort of bizarre Salvador Dali painting. I mean, so if you were to paint modern-day discourse and put it in the painting, it would look like something Salvador Dali. You know who that painter was?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No.
Yeah, he did all these kind of bizarre scenes with all these disconnected, disjointed elements in it. And you see how he can make sense of it. It was really compelling to look at it, but you couldn't quite make sense of everything. Well, that's what the public dialogue is like today. It's just totally disjointed, disconnected from reality, delusional, unduly hostile, irrational. There's no linear thought to it whatsoever. It's all emotions and puffed up grievances. And Joy Reid is typical of the people who embody this sort of aspirations and notions. She's just a simple idiot, progressive, and she parrots this kind of nonsense endlessly.
Yeah, and doesn't realize she's a millionaire. You know, probably doesn't live in a white neighborhood, you know, and she's living high on the hog, but she wants to always talk about white supremacy and all this and everything.
I mean, she's She has a grievance, and she's jealous of white women. She's insecure, like so many leftists are. That's why they're so censorious, because they know if you have an argument, on even terms, Markey or Queensberry debate with what they believe and with what we believe, they're going to lose. That's why they're so insecure. They know that their belief system does not stand up to scrutiny. We can tear it apart every time with reason, history, scientific method, logic, empiricism, and epistemology. We can tear it up every single time. That's why they have to censor. That's why they have to tear down the past. That's why they have to act like Taliban with statues and everything else. We got to understand what we're looking at here. We must not miss the forest for the trees. The trees we see of all these things they're doing are just part of what the eventual force will be that will just cover everything. They're going to fundamentally transform the world, starting with this nation.
Exactly. Yeah. What are your thoughts on that, Pianchi? Did we lose Pianchi?
I agree. I'm ready to go fight, man. I'm going to be shadow boxing in the corner.
Hey, you better get ready, man. Get
that whooshing I was hearing.
Keep your powder dry, because these people are insane, man. I truly believe they want to kill a lot of us because we're carbon emitters and we emit too much carbon. I really believe it. I would say that would have been 5 years ago, and I'm like, oh, that's going over the top. Not anymore. Not after watching this COVID deal and the governmental response to it, and the mess with the vaccines and the lockdowns and disruptions to the supply chain and discouraging people from working and all the other and the fascist medical police state they were setting up. I don't doubt it anymore that a lot of them want to see billions of us dead. We just emit too much carbon to stick around and harm Mother Earth. In the meantime, all the elites and the oligarchs will have enough serfs that they'll be able to control, and they can maintain their luxurious lifestyles as they lord it over the rest of us.
Yeah. You all, let me cut in right here. Certain person is on the phone, and I think you all will like to hear from this person. Let me get him in. Hello, Iredell. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, how y'all guys doing this evening?
Doing good.
That's good. Doing good. I'm doing a lot better. I'm just resting in here. I just woke up, so I said, let me listen to your show. And I know I missed a lot of it, and thank you for keeping me in your prayers, but I'm a trooper and everything. And I just want to say that we need to come together and get this world together. I mean, something's going on here because you see all these earthquakes, I mean, like, and all these fights and mass murders and everything. Something's going on. We need to come together and get it together here.
Well, I led a prayer for you to get better. And when I got done praying, I got lightning struck me in my foot. But I'm all right.
Just a little humor to cheer you up.
Yeah, well, I'm glad. I hope you're doing better, brother, and I hope you continue to improve. I'll leave it at that. Cause I really do, because I don't think anybody should suffer unduly.
I appreciate that, guys. I really do. You know, and then plus, y'all don't notice, but my oldest daughter's been in the hospital. Had surgery. I think she went home earlier today, so she got a whole lot of stuff is going on. You know what I'm saying? But we'll be fine. We're gonna come through smiling like a rose.
Okay. All right.
Give my regards to your family and your daughter, and I hope they do get better. I truly do.
Thank you very much.
Family is everything. Family is all, and it is most important. And no other institution in the country is under more concerted assault right now than the nuclear family and the immediate family. No other institution is under more relentless assault than that.
That's very true, guys. That is so very true. But, again, thank you for your prayers and your concerns. And go ahead with the show, Vincent.
All right. Thank you, Iredell. I hope you get better.
Yes,
you take care of yourself, Iredell. I'll talk to you later.
Take care, boss. Good luck.
All right. Yeah. Wow. Dog, I just lost my train of thought there. But anyway, it was another article that I had picked up on our good old buddies at the Root.
Oh yeah, buddy.
I use that term very loosely. I pulled this up. Every now and then I find myself going to this site because these people are the reason why I still have a show. As long as you have sites like The Root, I will always have a show. And last week I talked about the list they had of the black people that they think will be could be the next president. Of course, they were all liberal black folks. And this week they had they got another list of a roundup of Fox News' most racist lies. What is it with Fox News anyway? It's almost like, before there was Trump derangement syndrome, there's Fox derangement syndrome. Why are these folks so worried about Fox? What Fox is saying, and I just don't get it. But they talk about this thing called white replacement theory. This is something I've only gotten familiar with within the past couple of years. They say a bunch of white people, they're afraid of becoming the minority, and so they want to go out here and this is the reason why they want to close the borders, and this is the reason why they don't want black people to succeed and all this crazy mess. And the first slide they show is Tucker Carlson. And they say Tucker Carlson is one of the biggest proponents of this great replacement theory. I don't know what in the world they're talking about because I've never heard him. Maybe you all can enlighten me on this. I don't know what the heck they're talking about. Tucker Carlson is afraid of being replaced as a white person or some crazy mess like this. Let me see what they say. A Fox News personality, Tucker Carlson, who hosts the show Tucker Carlson Tonight, has pushed the heinous notion of great replacement theory for years. It states that white people are in danger of becoming a minority in the U.S. due to immigration policies and social movements. This racist rhetoric was connected to the motive behind the violent Buffalo massacre that targeted black people last year. Oh, so they want to connect Tucker Carlson to the Buffalo massacre and say he's probably responsible for it. But I don't think white people are in any danger of being replaced, and I'm going to tell you why. If black people continue to abort their babies and everything, white people will always be the majority in this country. So I don't know where they come from with that, but, I digress. They got another person here. They said they titled it COVID hoax. They got Sean Hannity, says in 2020, Fox News was under scrutiny for saying the response to coronavirus was nothing more than unwarranted hysteria. It also emphasized the death toll of the seasonal flu, which essentially deceived their audience into thinking that the coronavirus was receiving more attention because it was new, while the flu, in fact, kills more Americans. It was more cause for panic. If you are over the mass hysteria, if you're over politicizing and weaponizing of the coronavirus, you are not alone, Fox host Sean Hannity has stated. The network also used COVID as an opportunity to discuss the disease's origins in a racist way. Oh, because it comes from China, which it does come from China. And they say these are racist lies. I'm trying to see the racism in what they're saying here, because now the pundits, the liberal pundits, they're starting to admit that, hey, yeah, this virus did come from a laboratory. And we're like, well, dog, we told you that about 3 or 4 years ago, or 2 or 3 years ago. We told you that. And now they don't want to say anything about it. They want it to be hush-hush because this was one of their tickets that got them the presidency. I really do believe the coronavirus was used to keep Donald Trump from getting back into office. I really do believe that. You know, you can say about that whatever you will, but I really do believe that they use the coronavirus as a means to keep Donald Trump from getting reelected. And if you ask me, I still think that Donald Trump won the election, but, you know, Joe Biden's our president now. I refer to him as Mr. President, but I add an asterisk next to his name. But people keep throwing this stuff around here like, this is racist, this is racist. Anything you disagree with a black person, it's deemed racist. And I'm like, how in the world can you all sit here and call this stuff racist? What Sean Hannity has said and Tucker Carlson has said has nothing to do with racism. But they just want to push the racist. They got to push that racist card, because that's one of the ways that they gain power in the political process. They say Tucker, black lives don't matter. Fox News host Tucker Carlson couldn't help himself when he said that the 2020 police brutality protests were definitely not about black lives. I agree with Tucker Carlson. He didn't stop there as he added, remember that when they come for you, and at this rate they will. Anyone who has been subjected to the rage of the mob knows the feeling. It's like being swarmed by hornets. The backlash Carlson faced was imminent. I'm going to stop it there because, you know, a lot of this stuff is just ridiculous.
Well look here, Vince, I listen to Tucker Carlson every day, okay? He's the one show I will not miss. Doesn't mean I agree with everything he says. He puts out a lot of valuable information that I almost always am able to corroborate independently. So I never miss a show. And all the allusions that I've heard him make to the Great Replacement Theory is in response to leftists and Democrats speaking of the Great Replacement Theory. Joe Biden spoke about Great Replacement Theory approvingly. There is a video you can go look at on YouTube, and you will see him speak about how white people are not reproducing, and their places are being replaced by immigrants, and that's a good thing. Joe Biden said that. You can go look for yourself on the news. Several other leading Democrats, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, said the same thing. And Tucker Carlson was responding to what they said. So, I mean, it's like everything else these leftists do, they distort everything that there is to distort. They never tell you the truth the way it is. They leave out all context, or they outright distort and mislead you as to what they're saying. I mean, they're despicable.
Fake journalism leads to fake news. That's basically what it is. Because these rascals...
Oh, can I mention something
else
about crime? And I think this is really important, again, for context. Do you realize that only a tiny... There are over 3,300 counties in the United States, okay? Roughly, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 3,300. Just round the number off, 3,300. And out of all of those counties, the worst 31 counties for homicide, and I'm excluding suicide here, I'm talking about homicide, which is deliberate killing of a person by another person. That's what a homicide is. The deliberate or the kill, not deliberate, but the killing of a person by the actions of another person. That's what a homicide is. Could be murder, could be manslaughter, could be any number, could be justifiable homicide, could be a bunch of, but it's killing somebody by another person. That's what a homicide is. So anyway, a tiny fraction of the U.S. counties account for nearly all of the country's homicides. Now, the people who found this out were particularly a great researcher named John Lott. He's done a lot of gun research in the past.
He's the president of
Crime Prevention Research Center. And he went to every single county in the United States and asked for their homicide statistics, because not all of them report to the FBI Uniform Crime Reporting Data System, because they're not required to. There's no requirement that they have to. Most places do, but many counties do not. So he went to every single one to ask them individually for it. And here's what he found out. The worst 31 counties, almost all of them urban jurisdictions, have a fifth of the county's population, but they account for 42% of all the country's homicides. Listen now. 31 counties, 42%. Now get this. And out of those counties, the worst 5% of them account for 73% of that 42%. And now 52% of counties in the United States reported no homicides in 2020. And another 16%, so for the mathematically challenged leftists out there, that is a total of 68%. So 68% of counties report no homicides or a single homicide. 68% of the counties in the United States have no homicides at all. Mm. Now, they try to make you pretend that this is a generalized, universal problem, you know, these homicides. They're not. That's a lie. They are concentrated mainly in big cities run by Democrats. Every one of them run by Democrats. Every single one. 10 counties have the highest murder rate that skews the murder rate in the United States as high as it is. 10 counties. They are New Orleans Parish in Louisiana, where New Orleans is located. That's the locus of it. Coahoma County, Mississippi, run by Democrats. Phillips County, Arkansas, where Little Rock is, run by a Democrat. St. Louis, Missouri. Baltimore City and Maryland and St. Louis City are tied for spot number 4. Petersburg City, Virginia, run by Democrats. Macon County, Alabama, run by Democrats. District of Columbia, run by Democrats. Washington County, Mississippi, run by Democrats. Dallas County, Alabama, run by Democrats. Every single one of them is governed and administered by Democrats. Could there possibly be something about Democrat governance that leads to this? Is it even something we can even speculate about?
I mean, for real.
I guess it's just forbidden to even speculate. Correlation isn't causation, after all, now, is it? On this case, no. I think it is.
Yeah. Hey, Sarge, can you give me the location of that information that you just gave?
Yeah, all you got to do is go to the crime prevention research. When you search it, just type in the Crime Prevention Research Institute. The Washington Times did an article on it too. The Washington Times has an archive. They call it Bad Neighborhoods. 1% of counties are responsible for 42% of America's homicides. Like I said, the main information is at the Crime Prevention Research Center, and you can go look at all the facts and what they recovered from their county-by-county examination.
Okay. You know what? I think you may have shared this information before. Yeah.
Right. I think it bears repeating. It's at least worthy of discussion rather than trying to paper it over and not want to talk about it at all.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm going to leave it there with you guys. Get ready to close this show out. And thank you all for coming on. Thank you, Iredale. Thank you, Pianchi. Thank you, Sarge. Thank you, Bring It Boye. Everybody who's come on and given your piece of rhetoric on the show today. Really appreciate you guys. You all just keep standing up for the truth. Keep standing for the truth. You know, stick to your guns. Don't let anybody make you back down off of your point of view. You know, but anyway, you guys take care of yourselves. Stay safe out there. And God willing, I should have another edition of Black by Color Only next week. I don't think I have any plans, but I should have another edition of this show next week. So you all prepare yourselves, and I'll see you next week. This is Vincent E. Brown. I'm signing off. And until the next time, I'll see you on the rebound. You guys have a great week.